Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I have Michael P. McCarthy.
Happy to be here.
Michael P., that's Paul, right?
You know what? It's Patrick. Yeah,
oh.
Paul. So
Patrick, you know you're Irish. What should I guess?
Well, that's exactly why I got to use that middle initial, because if you say Michael McCarthy, you know, half the room stands up.
Well, the other half of the room stands up when you say Michael Patrick McCarthy.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here on an open show. Open show means you are the guest, and it's been a couple weeks. It's actually been 3 weeks since we had an open show, and you get to be the guest tonight. You get to ask the questions tonight. We've had some great guests on. 2 weeks ago, we did our Charles Schwab interview, and if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, you can go to our website, financialconsulate.com. That's consulate, like an embassy.com, and listen to that interview. You can either listen to a rerun of the radio show where I did some commentary before and after each piece of the show, or you can just listen to the raw 16-minute cut of the interview with Schwab. It was a great interview because, you know, he has such a passion to change the financial advisory industry going back to 1975 when he first started.
And what an industry that needs change.
And he felt that in 1975. He said the whole commission orientation, the way the big wirehouses are doing this is all in the best interest of them. And he wanted to change the industry. And he cut commission 75% on that first day in 1975. And they raised commission. And it was a statement as to what he was trying to prove. And for the last 40 years, he's been dedicated to try to change the industry in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting in the past few months talking to some of the other custodians, listening to how they react to things like the most recent drop to zero fee trades. And, you know, the way they describe it when you hear these other guys talk, they're like, yeah, when Schwab decided that they had to go there and then we all had to follow, you can just hear the drain. Like, why would you do that? Like, you know, why would you cut money out that we could all be making together?
Right. You know, because, you know, he proved that back in 1992 when he cut the IRA fee. All the other companies raised their IRA fees. They were charging $25, $30, $40, $50. And Schwab said, you know, this is ridiculous. Why are we doing this? And when he cut those, I remember saying to Chris, I said, you know, we need to figure out how to work with companies like this where we can be independent and we can choose the broker as opposed to be affiliated with a single broker. And Schwab single-handedly has transformed the financial advisory industry when he opened up platforms like we now have. The consulate uses Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, and Schwab, but those platforms that we can now work on were created and designed by Charles Schwab and Company to change the industry, and it has dramatically.
Absolutely. So, where he leads, others have had to follow.
Yeah. So we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and be the guest and direct the conversation in a way that will answer questions that are important to you, we do have one caller online. But if you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you have a question you want to talk about, Gene in Columbia, how can we help you?
I know there's a different little bit of wrinkle on a topic that's come up quite often on your show the last couple of years. You know, when you're on Medicare and then you do your taxes,
right?
There was a long time threshold for joint returns of $170,000 AGI,
right?
Before there were some surcharges to Plan B and things like that.
Irma.
Now, I read an article in Kiplinger's that says this year it's been raised to 174.
Yeah, wasn't that great of them? Very kind, wasn't it?
Was that any separate legislation, a part of the SECURE Act, or what?
Not that I know of. I don't know if it wasn't an inflation adjustment because there
They arbitrarily. It's a step inflation adjustment.
Yeah. They've been like Gene's saying, it was 2007 when they set the 170,000 standard. And this was the first time that they've ever raised it. It's 174 now. But also keep in mind, Gene, that they've condensed it, too. Used to be the top bracket was $460,000. Now they're down to $320,000, I think it is, when you hit – well, it's not the maximum. They have a new bracket at $750,000.
Well, I can only wish for that.
Yeah. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk about changing the IRMA tax – for married couples down to $80,000 and single down to $40,000. And the Democrats
should be isolated just like the coronavirus.
Well, I'm just saying, the Democrats were the ones that were championing that concept. And so be careful out there. Think about, how you vote when you look and listen. Anyway, good question,
Gene. I'm assuming that this change is not – they haven't added a COLA now.
No, as far as I know, there is no COLA. It was like Mike said, it was just a legislative thing that they decided to just raise it to 174. I don't even think they have to go through Congress. I think this is done.
No, it's just attached to something else. It's some congressman says, hey, I'm going to put my pin on the fact that I got this increased and I'm going to write it as a rider on some other bill. But yeah, there's actually five categories now. And the thing I think it's important when we talk about topics like this, for everybody who doesn't know exactly what they're talking about, when you're on Medicare and you have a premium, when your income goes above five certain levels, Medicare will start to charge you more for the premium. So the way that Drew always describes that is a tax, and it's a tax that can be planned for sometimes.
Yeah, and it's a cliff. It's a cliff. If you go to $174,001 adjusted gross, it's actually modified adjusted gross income. You go over $1 and you're going to go up by, I think it's something in the neighborhood of $1,800 a year, husband and wife premium. Anyway, good point, Gene. Thank you very much. We're on an open show. We got a couple people online, but if you want to call in 410-922-6680, there's plenty of lines open right now. And we're going to come to Dave and Lori after we come back from this break with traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy, and we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, right now I'm going to Dave in Middle River. Dave, how can we help you?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. We are a closely held C corporation, second generation here in Maryland. So due to how well the business has been doing the last few years, there's been a lot of consolidation in the M&A market. So we've been approached by a lot of private equity firms and looking to acquire us. I guess my question is, should we look at an asset purchase or a stock purchase with regards to taxation to myself and the partner?
Well, it's not that easy. It's not that easy an answer, and it's not that easy a question, because unlikely you're going to get to make that final decision because when they, it's a push and a shove. The buyer The buyer wants to do an asset sale. The seller wants to do a stock sale. And, you know, the happy median normally is going to prove to be an asset sale where a fair, amount of assets are going to give you the ability to get capital gains treatment. So that's why the seller wants to do a stock sale, is because they want capital gains treatment. If they just do a stock sale, they get 100% all capital gains. But if you do an asset sale, you could end up with majority of the money as ordinary income if you don't do it right. So you got to negotiate, well, what assets are being acquired in an asset sale, and am I going to get capital gain treatment on at least a fair share of those assets? And we just did this. Yeah. Mikey was involved deeply in a case that we just sold up in Pennsylvania. So.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that you have to stay focused on is, just like Drew said, it's a negotiation. But the other thing that makes this negotiation so hard is you're not going to be able to get 100% of the answer until 6 months after you sell the business.
Well, that's sometimes true.
It depends on how complicated the number of assets are. But there's going to be an asset allocation schedule, and you should just roughly agree to what the percentages are going to be, and kind of, you know, is it fixed assets? Is it goodwill?
And that deal that Mike did was with a private equity firm out of Connecticut also. So, you know, you should make sure you know who you're dealing with on your side. Who are your advisors? Who are going to walk you through this, Dave, okay?
Yeah, well, we have – it was funny because we, again, I guess because the market's so hot in our industry, so we've had multiple inquiries from private equity. So, of course, two of them said – asset. One of them said stock, and I guess stock would be more beneficial to myself.
But you see, Dave, when they say stock, they might say stock, and let's just throw out a number, $5 million, okay? Asset sale, $5 million. Another guy said stock. He may only be talking $4.4 million because he's doing a stock as opposed to an asset. So there's where the push and shove comes, and you've got to make sure that your negotiations are wise and thinking out, well, exactly how is this going to impact us and so forth. So
yeah, and you need a team on your side, a couple different groups of people to help you navigate that.
Yeah.
Between the accountants, the financial planners, the tax planner, and the attorney.
Financial planner that actually knows what they're doing.
That knows about that. Yeah, knows specifically about that.
Exactly.
All right, Dave. Good question.
Thank you.
Good luck there, my friend. Take care. We're going to – oops, I'm sorry. I did that accidentally. We're going to Lori in Rock Hall. Lori, how can we help you?
Hello, Drew and Mike.
Hey, Lori.
From the Eastern Shore.
Yes. How are you?
I am okay. Since I heard that it was an open show, I thought it would be a good time to call because I've been wanting to call for some time just to give a shout-out and a thank you to the financial consulate and Drew and Mike. I think it was probably 4 or 5 years ago that I first went there. I heard your ad so much on WCBM, and I went there for the financial physical. And after that, I became a client, and I just want your listeners to know that the situation that I had to me was unique. It might be normal for the financial consulate, but I was lost. I had no clue what to do. And the financial consulate with Drew and Mike led me through every step of the way and got me to a great result and even dealt with my elder care attorney at all steps. And it was I could not highly recommend your firm more than I am right now.
Well, we can't thank you enough, Lori.
Appreciate that. You know, it's what we do. That's what our mission statement is: help lessen the worry and burden of money management. We take that very seriously.
Well, you do an excellent job, and I just wanted your listeners to know that if they want to come in for that financial physical, I think that they will be pleasantly surprised and happy with you. I know they'd be happy with your service.
Well, we appreciate that, Lori. You have a great day, and we thank you again.
Well, thank you for being on the air, and that's where I first heard you all. And you all have a good night. Nice talking to you, gentlemen.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Well, that was really nice of Laurie to say that. You were the one that did a lot of that work for her, you know, so I really appreciate all you did for her. Anyway, this is Ron in Glen Burnie. Ron, how can we help you?
I have a fixed indexed annuity that I've elected to take the guaranteed lifetime income rider on. So as I get payments, you know, the value of the account drops slowly.
Well, maybe not so slowly, but okay, slowly. We'll take that.
Right. So my question is, if at a point if I die before the account value goes to zero, there's an amount left to my beneficiaries, right?
Okay, yep.
Now, so here's a question. Does that amount, should that happen, does that amount is subjected to the 10-year rule that it has to be distributed?
So is your annuity an IRA?
In other words, the new
is your annuity
law,
and
apply to this kind of situation? The account was bought with qualified money. It was bought with qualified
money.
Okay,
so it's a qualified retirement plan. So yes, the new Secure Act would fall into that, and unless your beneficiary was a spouse or one of the beneficiary exceptions, chronically ill, disabled, minor, or somebody who's less than 10 years younger than you, they would have a 10-year payout. End of the story.
So the key is not that it was an annuity or not. The key is it was a qualified account.
Correct. Any retirement plan is going to fall under the new Secure Act, and you either have to be a spouse or one of those exception beneficiaries.
Now, what about if I make my grandchild the, beneficiary?
How old is the grandchild right now?
Well, right now the grandchild is 3 years old.
So, God forbid you were to pass away next year, a child's 4 years old, the child would be able to use life expectancy payout for the first 14 years, the minute the child turns 18 or 21, depending on what the age of majority is in the state that the child lives in. Then they would have 10 years from the minute they turn 18 to take out the rest of the money. That's the way the law works.
Thank you. And suppose they live overseas, but the parents are, everybody's an American citizen. So,
right. It wouldn't matter where they lived. It would be taxable.
It's whatever state they left or whatever state they've left there. It's still their domicile.
If they still have a domicile in that state, because you don't have to have a state domicile. There are some situations where you can be exed from a state domicile, but that depends on why they're there. Are they over there as an expat?
Well, right now, studying overseas, and I don't know how long they may like it and stay, or they may come back, but their income is very low, so they don't even file USA tax returns at this moment.
Yeah. So, in that situation, that grandchild would have to pay at least U.S. federal tax, and in the situation you're talking about, they could have broken domicile with any state in the United States. But I'm not sure of that. I'd have to hear more of the situation. But, in a lot of situations like Mike's talking about, if you're an expat and McCormick & Company sends you to England to work, you have to pay taxes in Maryland and the United States as well as England, But you get lots of credits and deductions for your double taxation. All right?
Okay, so there's a level of complication.
Yes, there definitely is. But the final point is your answer is 10 years, no matter who you leave it to, unless the person's one of those exception beneficiaries. All right,
okay,
my friend?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good question. Right now we got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The theme song to the Blues Brothers. I remember that like it was yesterday. Anyway, we're here at Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show. That means you're the guest. You get to call and ask questions. We have had five or six good callers, lots of good questions and so forth. So if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. All lines are open. I guess that's probably because I forgot to give out the number before we went on break and say the lines are open, but that's okay. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. So, Mikey, I keep talking about this, and I'm hoping that our listeners are listening, that there are some quirky things that happened in that tax law that was passed at the end of 2019. For example, there are ways that you could amend your 2018 2018 return from laws that were passed at the end of 2019. And a big one that a lot of people aren't talking about is if you have children who file an income tax return due to investment income, investment interest, dividends, and capital gains. And a lot of our wealthier clients set up accounts where the children have their own investment accounts, and big ones. I'm talking lots of money. And the tax laws were less favorable to those children's tax returns in 2018. They switched it from the parents' tax rates to the trust tax rates. Trusts pay the maximum tax bracket at $12,400. So, you know, as opposed to the parents pay the maximum rate at about $600,000, a married couple. And so, you know, this was a dramatic change. Well, now they've come back and say, hey, you know, forget about that. Go back to the parents' rate. And if you want to amend your 18 return for your kids, feel free to. And if you want to do your 19 return, you can do it either way, using the trust rates or your parents' rates, whichever you feel like. And then in 20, you can only use the parents' rates.
As long as whatever your accountant charges you to refile the return is less than what you'll get out of it. You know, the one that that I think will hit even more people is the mortgage insurance premiums.
Yes, that was another one. So tell everyone how that worked.
So if you purchased a home and you were unable to put down normally about 20%, you'd have your interest, your principal, your escrow, and then you'd also have mortgage insurance premiums, an insurance policy you have to pay for the mortgage company because you didn't put enough down. And they had taken away that deduction, and then now in the Extenders Act or the Secure Act, they gave it back, and they gave it back all the way to 18. So you may have even given your tax preparer the fact that you had these mortgage insurance premiums on your 1098, but they may not have even bothered to put them in because it wasn't deductible. But now if you go back, you might be able to get a few extra bucks. But again, if as long as you can do your tax prep for a good price.
Yeah, and the last one was the tuition. So you take somebody who's single and going to graduate school and takes a course or two a night and spend $2,000 or $3,000, and their income's way too high to take advantage of the lifetime learning credit. They're beyond the first 4 years of undergraduate school to take advantage of the American Opportunity Credit. The way you got the deduction is at what was called the tuition expense deduction, right? But your income, you couldn't do that in 2018. So at the end of 2019, they say, we were just kidding. You can do it now for 2018. So think of how many people are doing TurboTax returns, have no idea that this has changed, that they can go back to their 18 return and add their tuition and get a deduction.
Well, wait a minute, Drew. I mean, if they change the law, isn't the IRS going to go back and fix it for them and send them the checks?
They only fix it if it's in their favor, Mike.
They're not going to send everybody checks. They're not going to go look for anybody who might have overpaid.
They do not fix things that are against them. They only fix them if they're in the favor of the IRS. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, I've got Tina in Eastern Shore. Tina, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. How can we help you?
I've got a couple questions. You're talking about education. I have two adult children that we saved a boatload of savings bonds for. They're in my husband's name as the children as the beneficiary. They never wanted to go to college. Now they want to go to college as adults. And my daughter is taking online classes. Can they use any of those bonds towards their fees?
What's the income limit on that, Mike? Those savings
bonds. I'm trying to look it up as fast as I can.
The savings bond income limit. I don't think I've ever done a tax return where we were able to use the savings bonds. So the savings bonds had to be bought after 1988, I think it was.
Well, and just to be clear, are we talking about the fact that there's a rule that allows savings bonds to be transferred into a 529?
That's true, too. But the thing that she's referring to also is that she can just use the savings bonds and cash them in, and the interest will be 100% tax-free as long as they were in the names of the parents, as long as it was used for college education. And there's an income limit, and I can't remember what the income limit is. What's your other question while Mike's doing his research for you?
The other question is there a limit on – well, first off, I've maxed out my
401k?
401k with the Thrift Savings Plan. I think it was like $25,000 that I've
$25,000 last year, $26,000 in 2020.
Yeah, I did it last year.
Okay.
$25,000. And I want to know, we also put in private Roth IRAs. Is that going to interfere with the amount of the private IRA that we put in?
No.
For 2019?
No. Roth IRAs, Tina, are only, it's an income limit. So for 2019, okay. I believe you had to have MAGI, modified adjusted gross income, under $193,000. So if your MAGI's under that, you can do the $7,000 Roth contribution for 2019 anytime up until April 15th.
Very good. Back to the
what's the income, Mike?
The income limit for married filing jointly is $147,250. Individuals $93,150.
Is that a MAGI also?
It's an AGI.
It's just an AGI. It's just adjusted gross income. You think you're under that?
We might be right there.
Well, but it's not a cliff, I don't believe. I think it's a phase out, right, Mike? 147 to like 157, or is it 127 to 147 or something like that? So it's probably a phase out.
Okay.
But, you know, the concept is you had to cash the bonds in when the tuition was being paid. And I don't believe that there's any requirement. It just has to be college education for a child.
Yeah.
But there's no age limit because they're adults.
It doesn't matter the age limit, as far as I know, but I think they have to be a dependent on their tax return, doesn't it?
No, they're not. They're not a dependent. They're living on their own, doing.
But like things. I say, the savings bond deduction thing is a quirky one, and I've never used it in my entire career. I talked about it.
It is a phase out, but I don't have those phase out numbers. I'd have to dive a little deeper into
IRS.
But I think the savings bond to 529 and then take it out of the 529 to pay, I think that would work.
We would have to look at that, though. Why don't you send us an email? Why don't you send us an email? Drew@drewtig.com is an easy way to remember it, or Drew@financialconsulate.com, either one, and we'll get you the rest of the information for the savings bond, okay?
Very good. Thank you so much.
Take care. That's such a quirky one. You don't use it very. I've done
the 529 one, and it works so well. I never even thought of doing anything else.
So you've moved the money into a 529, but it has to be for
a
beneficiary, though. That it can't just be for yourself. Is any savings bond eligible to be moved into a 529 plan with no tax?
I would think so.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look into that. We'll have to do that.
Because why not?
What's your problem over there, Chris? You exercising or something? I think he says that we have to take a traffic break. So Drew in Arbutus, and I think he's just stealing my name here, but that's okay. I'm going to let him share it with me. Hopefully you'll hold on. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We're going into the last part of the show. If you want to call and get in line with Drew from Arbutus also, 410-922-6680. There are lines open. Right now we got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show with Michael P. McCarthy, a good Irish name. Or is that Italian?
It's not Italian.
No, you should be Italian. You want to be Italian.
You know, I like the food, but, you know, I'm okay. I'm going to stick, with my people.
Stick with your people, the Irish. That's okay. You be that way. Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We still have time for at least one or two more callers if you want to call in. But right now, there we go. Dave in Arbutus. Boy, I'll tell you, things change when we just wait a little bit. Dave in Arbutus, how can we help you?
Drew and Michael, for 10 years we've been playing this required minimum distribution.
Yep.
And trying not to get this 50% penalty by not taking enough taxes out. So this year we had some extra income. Actually, we had some savings bonds come due and quite a few other things. And so what I did was take extra money out when I did require minimum distribution in hopes that it would be enough to cover all my taxes. My question is, being I took way more than I needed on a required distribution, is that going to work? Or at the end of the tax return, if I owe money, are they going to say that's part of the 50% that I didn't take out?
Well, if you took out more than your required minimum distribution, regardless if you owe money at the end of the year, that's irrelevant to the IRA required minimum distribution, if that's what you're asking, Dave.
Yeah, that and 401, whatever it is.
Yeah, so if you – let's say you had a required minimum distribution of $25,000, and that $25,000, when it's reported on your tax return – makes you owe $5,000 at the end of the year, as long as the 25 met the required minimum coming out of your IRA, you're perfectly fine. Now, what you might owe is interest on the additional tax you owe, but that's only like 6% going back to the time you should have been making your quarterly estimated payments or something of that sort.
Well, we don't have enough income to have to do quarterly.
Okay, well then, you know, if you owe money at the end of the year, the worst case scenario is you'll owe some interest at the end of the year when you file your tax return.
But
not the 50% penalty.
But that 50% isn't going to come into view.
No, sir. You know what is actually funny, Dave, is that the IRS rarely imposes the 50% penalty on people for not fulfilling their required minimum distribution unless they can prove that the person did it egregiously. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, if Mr. and Mrs. Jones come and see me and it's the first time I ever saw them, they ask me to do their tax return and do a financial physical for them, and we do it and we say, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, you were supposed to take a required minimum distribution last year, but you didn't do it. I would file their return and I'd say, hey, they were supposed to take a required minimum distribution. They didn't do it. Mea culpa, please forgive us. And the IRS would just say, oh, okay, sure, that's fine.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You ask any good tax preparer and they will tell you, in my 40 years of doing tax returns for clients, I have never, ever had the IRS impose the 50% penalty on a single client in 40 years.
Well, that's the best news I heard so far. So,
but that doesn't mean anybody should take any chances with it. You should continue to be diligent. Yes, Michael.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, the best thing to do is file the return right the first time and do what you're supposed to do. But another thing that a lot of people don't know, and it shouldn't be used lightly, is penalty abatement. In the event, whether it's your IRA or whether it's something else, if something has caused you to have a penalty, we had a guy in our office, not a client, whose father's estate hadn't filed taxes on time, and he had all these penalties and interest that they had to pay because no one knew they were supposed to file that estate tax return. I told him, hey, go back, call the IRS, say you want to do a penalty abatement, one-time penalty abatement, one time, you know, you don't use this card when it's not really worth it, And he went back and they gave him $6,000 back.
Yep. Sometimes there are ways, there's some rules that you can't get an abatement.
Right.
Like, for example, we had a client that missed a W-2 and they penalized them $1,400 for underreporting of income. I went back and I said, look, it's the first time, you know, please forgive it. And they said, no. Not on underreporting of income. So some you do, like in your situation, not filing a return. They gave them the one-time. They gave them the abatement or the one-time abatement. So yeah, Dave, there is a lots of times where these penalties are more egregious, but the teeth aren't nearly as strong as it sounds. Just don't try to get funny with it. Just if you ever make a mistake.
The beans I took way more than I needed for the required minimum distribution, even if I didn't have enough total tax to cover my total taxes. All I'm going to have to probably pay is the money that I owe in taxes and maybe a penalty for that little bit of money.
Not a penalty, more interest. Just interest.
Okay, interest.
And you know, and that's, there's all kinds of safe harbors. And, you know, if you hit one of those safe harbors, you're not even going to owe interest. I could owe $80,000 at the end of the year, but I know I've safe harbored my withholdings for the year. So you might not even owe any interest. So don't worry about it at all. And if you ever did make a mistake in not getting your RMD out, just have your accountant or yourself file 5329 with some words on there, mea culpa, please forgive me. And I'd be surprised if anybody ever calls me up and says the IRS came after me for the 50%. All right?
Best news I heard all night.
Well, good. I'm glad I could make your day, Dave.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy. See ya. It won't hang up on me, but there you go. Very good. Thank you. And so we're almost out of time. We can't take any other callers now, so I just think we'll sit here in silence for the next 3 minutes. Oh, I can't do that. No, my contract says I'm not allowed to do that, and my mouth isn't good enough to keep quiet for 3 minutes.
Well, you like to talk about food and your Italian heritage a lot, so I'll tell everybody the one time I took you to an Irish restaurant for food, and you promptly informed me, even before we got into the Irish restaurant, that the Irish are not known for their food.
They aren't. But I tell you, there are some very nice Irish pubs around town, and you can get some pretty good food. There's one down in Severna Park, and there's one right there in Timonium that I enjoy very much, both of them.
On the Gary Allen in Gettysburg.
Oh, and the one in Westminster is also very good. I enjoy that one, too.
To take Bev to the Gary.
Now, you know, I would never take anybody there for a great restaurant. I'd go out to Michael Vitaggio.
You see this, Chris?
Look, you find me an Irishman can cook like Michael Vitaggio out in Frederick, and I'll put the Irish up on a pedestal. But you know,
you like the drink though, right? Remember, we got you the snake bite.
I only drink one.
That's the drink. It. I said the drink, the snake bite.
I don't drink hard liquor. I drink wine. I drink beer. I drink one. And then the next day I'll drink one more, you know? So anyway, we are almost out of time here, Mikey. And again, I just want to let our listeners know that the SECURE Act is a very serious situation that you need to take seriously as to how they've changed how the money goes down to the children, and it really requires generational planning to make sure that the family maximizes those assets. And very few financial advisors are tax people, and that's a problem, and that's a serious problem.
Well, and as everybody's getting their tax returns done, this is the time to make sure you take the time to talk to your tax advisor and get tax planning, not just preparation.
Well, you know, most tax preparers aren't tax planners either. There are a lot of tax preparers just designed to get the tax return done. So
it's always changing and it's always fair, right?
Yep, that's true. Yeah, good point. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
People you love with love, show them the way you feel. Things are gonna